On this kind of rainy Saturday morning, time once again for a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Good morning, Jack.
Hi there, Denny. How are things?
Things are well. You know, my lawn, everything is greening up. Looks kind of a nice spring morning, and they're expected to clear later. So it's going to be a nice weekend.
It's supposed to be a beautiful day tomorrow, and later this afternoon it's supposed to clear up and be lovely.
Absolutely.
And boy, we're entitled to a few of those lovely
days.
Yes,
we are. What's on your mind today, Jack?
Well, today isn't on my mind so much as is the Kentucky Derby.
Yes, we are. What's on your mind today, Jack?
Well, today isn't on my mind so much as is the Kentucky Derby. And, of course, the principal drink of the Kentucky Derby is a mint julep. And, boy, I'll tell you, having been to, I think, four Kentucky Derbies in my life, one of the highlights is having one of those mint juleps. It's a wonderful, wonderful drink. And if you've never had one, I encourage people to try it. It's sort of a drink of the South. You know, we have them here in those, like a bootleg or a mojito, very popular nowadays. But a mint julep really celebrates America and celebrates the American South. The only thing that must be in is bourbon whiskey. And bourbon whiskey is a specific type of whiskey. And in fact, we'll devote a whole show to that sometime. But it's very interesting, according to the U.S. government, to be called bourbon, it must be produced in the United States or its territories, Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia. It must be made for a grain composition that's at least 51% corn. It has to be aged in new oak barrels, distilled to more than 80% alcohol, and it must be entered for aging at 125 proof. To get the proof, to get the alcohol content, you divide the proof by two, so that would be 62.5% alcohol, and it must be bottled in the United States. Anyhow, bourbon is a very interesting thing. Having Haskell's just had three of our top guys go down to Kentucky, just got back, I think, Wednesday, where they examined barrels and bought specific barrels of whiskey for us to dispense in the Twin Cities. So that bourbon thing, road it's called now in Kentucky, rivals things like the Napa Valley, et cetera, for the beautiful tasting rooms and facilities that all these whiskey makers have. And how many people listening to me even knew that George Washington was one of the biggest distillers in all of the colonies at the onset of our republic? That's right. George Washington, the father of our country, made several million dollars distilling and selling whiskey at Mount Vernon and was very proud of it. It's sort of interesting. A lot of the invention of bourbon is credited to Elijah Craig. Craig was a Baptist minister, but he was also a distiller. But he had a lot of firsts, but it wasn't to invent bourbon whiskey. He was the first one to age it in charred oak barrels, and that's the process that gives bourbon its unique color and distinctive taste. Bourbon County at the time of Elijah Craig, and even at the time of George Washington, was immense. It went all the way from Virginia to Kentucky. Today, Bourbon County is pretty much in Kentucky, but bourbon can be produced in all of these other places around the United States, provided it follows those regulations that I just mentioned. Actually, bourbon got its name from the fact that it was shipped from Bourbon County in at the conflux of the Ohio River, and it stamped on the barrels bourbon. And so that became the name of bourbon. And bourbon is a very distinct American drink. And much like the French protect champagne, we protect the word bourbon with all the way around the world. I mean, there's a lot of fake bourbon made, but the real bourbon should follow those basic steps that I just mentioned. But anyhow, we're talking about mint julep, where the spirit is bourbon. And it's only made with a few ingredients: mint leaf, simple syrup, and crushed ice, and of course, bourbon. In the South, they use spearmint. In the North, we use a regular mint. And I think the regular mint is better than spearmint, but I think it's getting used to. The original invention of the drinks, they used to be called mashes. Brandy mash was the one. The mojito is another one. They would mash up those spearmint leaves and put them in simple syrup. And the simple syrup is so simple to make. It's half water and half sugar. So in other words, if you took a cup of water and a cup of sugar, the water would be fully saturated with the sugar, and it would create a rather sweet, viscous concoction that we call simple syrup. And that simple syrup is kind of important. When you make the mint julep, you usually use equal parts simple syrup and bourbon, and then you pour that over crushed ice, and you garnish it with a mint leaf. I like to masticate the mint right in the simple syrup, so it has that simple syrup is absolutely permeated with the mint flavor. And that's pretty easy to do. You take a mortar and pestle and put your mint in there and mash it up all real good, and then add it to the syrup and let it sit for an hour or two, and you have your kind of basic mix, if you will, for the mint julep. And it's helpful when you're making mint juleps to have that done up in advance. So make up a pitcher of that simple syrup full of mint. And incidentally, if you don't use it in making mint juleps, it's a wonderful thing to add to make sweet iced tea. It's absolutely delicious. That sweetened mint flavor is absolutely terrific. And when you do that with the mortar and pestle, you're releasing the essential oils and juices in the mixture, thus intensifying the flavor of the mint, which is, I think, very important to have when we're talking about a mint julep. The history, it really started in the 1700s. Those juleps, well, they've been serving them at the Kentucky Derby. This will be the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. And I guarantee you 150 years ago, a few people were drinking those juleps, although they might have called them mashes at the time, at Churchill Downs. The Henry Clay, which was a senator from Kentucky, introduced the smash and the mint julep to Washington, D.C. at the Round Bar at the Willard Hotel. And it really was absolutely terrific. As a matter of fact, the word itself comes from the Spanish julepe, which is Arabic, and it means rose water or sweetness. And so the original mint julep is sweetness, and it also was incidentally prescribed by doctors for stomach and retching. And people had a difficult time in swallowing. It was suggested they have a mint julep. But I'd rather drink mine for fun than for medicine. It's still a wonderful drink that everybody can appreciate and enjoy very much. And I think it adds a little more fun to the watching of the Kentucky Derby if you have a mint julep in your hand. Juleps are a terrific drink. Those mint drinks are very refreshing, as evidenced by the popularity of the mojito. And incidentally, we're pioneers in Minnesota with mint drinks. Most of the country clubs around the Twin Cities have a drink called a bootleg, which is really sort of a Tom Collins made with mint. And you can put anything you want in the bootleg, you know, rum, vodka, gin, bourbon, etc. But traditionally it's made with gin, and originally was. And it was invented by the bartender out at the Woodhill Country Club many, many years ago. His grandson called me. We were talking about bootlegs on the air, and the grandson called and told me the story. He grew a lot of mint at home, and he had so much of it he didn't want to do with it, brought it to work, and as the head bartender he created this new drink called the bootleg, and the rest is history. It's a popular drink. I went to a wedding once in New York, and I said, "You have bootlegs?" I'm surprised. That's sort of a Minnesota drink. Well, they had bought from a country club here in the Twin Cities bottles and bottles of that bootleg mixture and sent it out to New York, where they doctored it up by adding alcohol to it and serving bootlegs at a fancy Hampton's wedding in New York, and there was this Minnesota favorite, a bootleg, absolutely delicious. And the highlight of the wedding, everybody said these drinks are the best they ever had, and it was nothing more than a Minnesota bootleg. Of course, the Kentucky Derby produces and promotes bootlegs. They've been affiliated with different whiskey companies throughout the year, mainly Brown-Forman, which is a Kentucky company, or was before it was gobbled up by an international conglomerate. But they still have a great presence in Kentucky. And now they use Wolford bourbon, which is awfully good. And they make those mint juleps, which are absolutely terrific. You also at the Derby, particularly on the 150th anniversary, you can get a $1,000 mint julep. That's right. It comes in a little silver cup and has the date on it, the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. And you have a wonderful souvenir to take home with you, albeit a very expensive one. I'm not sure that any drink is worth $1,000, and certainly not to just get one mint julep cup. That's a kind of another tradition, is serving the mint julep in a silver cup or pewter, either one. I think at the time, glass was, of course, very expensive, and pewter held a chill, silver would hold a chill better and longer than anything else, and that's how that got started. And years ago, people brought their own cups and made their own drinks, etc. It wasn't actually till after Prohibition that the Churchill Downs was able to sell spirits themselves. And they do a very good job of selling all those spirits. And if you're really interested in trying a mint julep, be sure and stop in our St. Paul store today from noon to the Derby time. Uncle Terry has made his mint juleps, and he'll have them for people to taste. And his recipe, as I said, is so simple. 1.5 ounces of syrup, 1.5 ounces of bourbon, some mint leaves, crushed ice, and there you have a wonderful mint julep. And like I said, it isn't too early today, if you're going to make mint juleps, to get that, buy some mint, or you can go outside and pick it. Once, as gardeners know, once you put in mint in Minnesota, it's very invasive. It takes over everything. And one of those things that grows even up north. We've had mint at our place up in north Minnesota for years and years and years, and I'm happy to report it's just as invasive and reproductive up there as it is in the metro area. And that mint can be used for so many other things besides mint julep, in cooking, etc. And anyway, I hope you all enjoy the Derby today, and I hope you'll enjoy a mint julep with it and think about the wonderful history behind it. Oh, incidentally, as of Sunday, Ted's last 6 for $60 for a while is on, and it's a great idea. You'd buy that for Mom for Mother's Day, which is the following week. But he's got 6 great bottles of wine, LVE Rosé, which stands for Legend Vineyard Experience. Legend, John Legend, is a big musician, and he owns a vineyard that he operates with Boisse family in California, and it makes a wonderful rosé that's absolutely delicious. And then he's got in there a Macon, which is perfect for Mom, a Southern Burgundy, 100% Chardonnay, just delicious. In fact, that retails for about $22 a bottle, and it's in the 6 for $60. And then he's got Bourgille, which is a red wine from the Loire Valley, light, easy to accommodate anybody for light foods where you want a red wine. Grand Concier Port, which is a Pinot, which comes from Burgundy, absolutely delicious, another great wine. And here's an old friend, Koala Ranch Syrah, comes from Australia and is absolutely delicious. And lastly, La Paquita Grenache Syrah Moudouvre, which is a Rhone Valley blend. Just terrific. 6 wonderful bottles of wine for $60 from Ted Farrell's Special Selection. And you can get those through Sunday
at any Haskell's location.
Indeed. The folks at Haskell's love to talk about wine. They love to pair wine and food. They love to provide you with your favorite bourbon to make a mint julep today. And there's a Haskell's near you where you'll save big dollars because this is the last weekend of our big spring sale. There's a Haskell's in Bloomington, one in Excelsior, Faribault right off at 35. Our Maple Grove Super Cellar, 22,000 square feet of wines from around the world, spirits and beers and seltzers. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale in Minnetonka, in Plymouth Highland Village in St. Paul, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com. And don't forget, we do deliver.
Absolutely. Jack, thanks so much. Let's do this again next week.
Go to Haskell's.com. And don't forget, we do deliver.
Absolutely. Jack, thanks so much. Let's do this again next week.
Okie doke, and good luck on the Derby.
On the Derby today. Thanks for all the great info. Jack Farrell from Haskell's. On this kind of rainy Saturday morning, time once again for a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Good morning, Jack.
Hi there, Denny. How are things?
Things are well. You know, my lawn, everything is greening up. Looks kind of a nice spring morning, and they're expected to clear later. So it's going to be a nice weekend.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a beautiful day tomorrow, and later this afternoon it's supposed to clear up and be lovely.
Absolutely.
And boy, we're entitled to a few of those lovely
days.
Yes,
we are. What's on your mind today, Jack?
Well, today isn't on my mind mine so much as is the Kentucky Derby.
Yes, we are. What's on your mind today, Jack?
Well, today isn't on my mind mine so much as is the Kentucky Derby. And, of course, the principal drink of the Kentucky Derby is a mint julep. And, boy, I'll tell you, having been to, I think, four Kentucky Derbies in my life, one of the highlights is having one of those mint juleps. It's a wonderful, wonderful drink. And if you've never had one, I encourage people to try it. It's sort of a drink of the South. You know, we have them here in those, like a bootleg or a mojito, very popular nowadays. But a mint julep really celebrates America and celebrates the American South. The only thing that must be in is bourbon whiskey. And bourbon whiskey is a specific type of whiskey. And in fact, we'll devote a whole show to that sometime. But it's very interesting, according to the U.S. government, to be called bourbon, it must be produced in the United States or its territories, Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia. It must be made for a grain composition that's at least 51% corn. It has to be aged in new oak barrels, distilled to more than 80% alcohol, and it must be entered for aging at 125 proof. To get the proof, to get the alcohol content, you divide the proof by two, so that would be 62.5% alcohol, and it must be bottled in the United States. Anyhow, bourbon is a very interesting thing. Having Haskell's just had three of our top guys go down to Kentucky, just got back, I think, Wednesday, where they examined barrels and bought specific barrels of whiskey for us to dispense in the Twin Cities. So that bourbon thing, road it's called now in Kentucky, rivals things like the Napa Valley, etc., for the beautiful tasting rooms and facilities that all these whiskey makers have. And how many people listening to me even knew that George Washington was one of the biggest distillers in all of the colonies at the onset of our republic? That's right. George Washington, the father of our country, made several million dollars distilling and selling whiskey at Mount Vernon and was very proud of it. It's sort of interesting. A lot of the invention of bourbon is credited to Elijah Craig. Craig was a Baptist minister, but he was also a distiller. But he had a lot of firsts, but it wasn't to invent bourbon whiskey. He was the first one to age it in charred oak barrels, and that's the process that gives bourbon its unique color and distinctive taste. Bourbon County at the time of Elijah Craig, and even at the time of George Washington, was immense. It went all the way from Virginia to Kentucky. Today, Bourbon County is pretty much in Kentucky, but bourbon can be produced in all of these other places around the United States, provided it follows those regulations that I just mentioned. Actually, bourbon got its name from the fact that it was shipped from Bourbon County in at the conflux of the Ohio River, and it stamped on the barrels bourbon. And so that became the name of bourbon. And bourbon is a very distinct American drink. And much like the French protect champagne, we protect the word bourbon with all the way around the world. I mean, there's a lot of fake bourbon made, but the real bourbon should follow those basic steps that I just mentioned. But anyhow, we're talking about mint julep, where the spirit is bourbon. And it's only made with a few ingredients: mint leaf, simple syrup, and crushed ice, and of course, bourbon. In the South, they use spearmint. In the North, we use a regular mint. And I think the regular mint is better than spearmint, but I think it's getting used to. The original invention of the drinks, they used to be called mashes. Brandy mash was the one. The mojito is another one. They would mash up those spearmint leaves and put them in simple syrup. And the simple syrup is so simple to make. It's half water and half sugar. So in other words, if you took a cup of water and a cup of sugar, the water would be fully saturated with the sugar, and it would create a rather sweet, viscous concoction that we call simple syrup. And that simple syrup is kind of important. When you make the mint julep, you usually use equal parts simple syrup and bourbon, and then you pour that over crushed ice, and you garnish it with a mint leaf. I like to mastigate the mint right in the simple syrup, so it has that simple syrup is absolutely permeated with the mint flavor. And that's pretty easy to do. You take a mortar and pestle and put your mint in there and mash it up all real good, and then add it to the syrup and let it sit for an hour or two, and you have your kind of basic mix, if you will, for the mint julep. And it's helpful when you're making mint juleps to have that done up in advance. So make up a pitcher of that simple syrup full of mint. And incidentally, if you don't use it in making mint juleps, it's a wonderful thing to add to make sweet iced tea. It's absolutely delicious. That sweetened mint flavor is absolutely terrific. And when you do that with the mortar and pestle, you're releasing the essential oils and juices in the mixture, thus intensifying the flavor of the mint, which is, I think, very important to have when we're talking about a mint julep. The history it really started in the 1700s, those juleps. Well, they've been serving them at the Kentucky Derby. This will be the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. And I guarantee you, 150 years ago, a few people were drinking those juleps, although they might have called them mashes at the time, at Churchill Downs. The Henry Clay, which was a senator from Kentucky, introduced the smash and the mint julep to Washington, D.C., at the Round Bar at the Willard Hotel. And it really was absolutely terrific. As a matter of fact, the word itself comes from the Spanish julepe, which is Arabic, and it means rose water or sweetness. And so the original mint julep is sweetness, and it also was incidentally prescribed by doctors for stomach and retching. If people had a difficult time in swallowing, it was suggested they have a mint julep. But I'd rather drink mine for fun than for medicine. It's still a wonderful drink that everybody can appreciate and enjoy very much. And I think it adds a little more fun to the watching of the Kentucky Derby if you have a mint julep in your hand. Juleps are a terrific drink. Those mint drinks are very refreshing, as evidenced by the popularity of the mojito. And incidentally, we're pioneers in Minnesota with mint drinks. Most of the country clubs around the Twin Cities have a drink called a bootleg, which is really sort of a Tom Collins made with mint. And you can put anything you want in the bootleg, you know, rum, vodka, gin, bourbon, etc. But traditionally it's made with gin, and originally was. And it was invented by the bartender out at the Woodhill Country Club many, many years ago. His grandson called me. We were talking about bootlegs on the air, and the grandson called and told me the story. He grew a lot of mint at home, and he had so much of it he didn't know what to do with it, brought it to work, and as the head bartender, he created this new drink called the bootleg, and the rest is history. It's a popular drink. I went to a wedding once in New York, and I said, "You have bootlegs." I'm surprised. That's sort of a Minnesota drink. Well, they had bought from a country club here in the Twin Cities bottles and bottles of that bootleg mixture and sent it out to New York, where they doctored it up by adding alcohol to it and serving bootlegs at a fancy Hamptons wedding in New York. And there was this Minnesota favored bootleg, absolutely delicious. And the highlight of the wedding, everybody said these drinks are the best they ever had. And it was nothing more than a Minnesota bootleg. Of course, the Kentucky Derby produces and promotes bootlegs. They've been affiliated with different whiskey companies throughout the year, mainly Brown-Forman, which is a Kentucky company, or was before it was gobbled up by an international conglomerate. But they still have a great presence in Kentucky. And now they use Wolford bourbon, which is awfully good. And they make those mint juleps, which are absolutely terrific. You also at the Derby, particularly on the 150th anniversary, you can get a $1,000 mint julep. That's right. It comes in a little silver cup and has the date on it, the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. And you have a wonderful souvenir to take home with you, albeit a very expensive one. I'm not sure that any drink is worth $1,000. And certainly not to just get one mint julep cup. That's a kind of another tradition, is serving the mint julep in a silver cup or pewter, either one. I think at the time, glass was, of course, very expensive, and pewter held a chill, silver would hold a chill better and longer than anything else, and that's how that got started. And years ago, people brought their own cups and made their own drinks, etc. It wasn't actually till after Prohibition that the Churchill Downs was able to sell spirits themselves. And they do a very good job of selling all those spirits. And if you're really interested in trying a mint julep, be sure and stop in our St. Paul store today from noon to the Derby time. Uncle Terry has made his mint juleps, and he'll have them for people to taste. And his recipe, as I said, is so simple. An ounce and a half of syrup, an ounce and a half of bourbon, some mint leaves, crushed ice, and there you have a wonderful mint julep. And like I said, it isn't too early today, if you're going to make mint juleps, to get that, buy some mint, or you can go outside and pick it. Once, as gardeners know, once you put in mint in Minnesota, it's very invasive. It takes over everything. And one of those things that grows even up north. We've had mint at our place up in north Minnesota for years and years and years, and I'm happy to report it's just as invasive and reproductive up there as it is in the metro area. And that mint can be used for so many other things besides mint julep, in cooking, etc. And anyway, I hope you all enjoy the Derby today, and I hope you'll enjoy a mint julep with it and think about the wonderful history behind it. Oh, incidentally, as of Sunday, Ted's last 6 for $60 for a while is on, and it's a great idea. You'd buy that for Mom for Mother's Day, which is the following week. But he's got 6 great bottles of wine, LVE Rosé, which stands for Legend Vineyard Experience. Legend, John Legend, is a big musician, and he owns a vineyard. He operates with Boisse family in California, that makes a wonderful rosé that's absolutely delicious. And then he's got in there a Macon, which is perfect for mom, a southern Burgundy, 100% Chardonnay, just delicious. In fact, that retails for about $22 a bottle, and it's in the 6 for 60. And then he's got Bourgil, which is a red wine from the Loire Valley, light, easy to accommodate anybody for light foods where you want a red wine. Grand Concier Port, which is Pinot, which comes from Burgundy, absolutely delicious, another great wine. And here's an old friend, Koala Ranch Syrah, comes from Australia and is absolutely delicious. And lastly, La Paquita Grenache Syrah Moudouvre, which is a Rhone Valley blend. Just terrific. Six wonderful bottles of wine for $60 from Ted Farrell's Special Selection. And you can get those through Sunday.
At any Haskell's location.
Indeed. The folks at Haskell's love to talk about wine. They love to pair wine and food. They love to provide you with your favorite bourbon to make a mint julep today. And there's a Haskell's near you where you'll save big dollars, because this is the last weekend of our big spring sale. There's a Haskell's in Bloomington, one in Excelsior, Faribault right off at 35, our Maple Grove Super Cellar, 22,000 square feet of wines from around the world, spirits and beers and seltzers. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale in Minnetonka, in Plymouth Highland Village in St. Paul, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com. And don't forget, we do deliver.
Absolutely. Jack, thanks so much. Let's do this again next week.
Go to Haskell's.com. And don't forget, we do deliver.
Absolutely. Jack, thanks so much. Let's do this again next week.
Okie doke, and good luck on the Derby.
On the Derby today. Thanks for all the great info. Jack Farrell from Haskell's.